Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks or anywhere in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, American Tourist Travel. Let us book all your travel needs, especially Disney. You can find us at americantouristtravelagency.com. Now come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing tonight?
Voice a little scratchy, but I'm doing very good. At least it's the voice and not the body.
Right.
Yeah, no poison ivy. And we're also joined by our good buddy John Peters. How you doing tonight, John?
I'm good. How you guys?
We're doing okay now. We thought we were not going to have to deal with you tonight, but apparently we do.
Yep. I ran and got done and made it anyway. So just to tick you off.
Yeah, me and Dennis were both trying to call and get another order of water somewhere in Sarasota, but they just didn't answer the phone. So, but I had I don't know if you guys heard. Well, I know you have. I don't know if you, but you know I've talked about them off the air, and I think I have on the air. We had a cat named Buster. We saved a couple outside cats that my neighbors had, and while the oldest one, Buster, we had to put him to sleep last night. He really got sick, so I'm in my room recording, and he's usually in here messing with me, so I miss Buster. But the neighbors told me he was at least 18 years old, if not older, so he was an old boy. But it was weird. He started to get skinny a couple weeks ago, and he just went down. Like, we noticed a little bit of weight, but it wasn't that bad, and we just figured because he's been inside so much, not outside like he always used to be. But then within 4 or 5 days, he got lost like 3/4 of his weight. You could just see.
Oh, boy.
And then
that was quick.
Yeah, and we took him to the vet, and the vets, you know, we knew there was nothing they could really do for him. But it breaks your heart. You feel like the bad guy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even though it was the merciful thing to do.
Yeah, and I'm in there like, Lizzie, he was always outside. I tried to take care of him. I would chase him around in the winter to put him in the garage. Same thing with his sister, Woody. And I would, you know, and it's just weird, like, I'm not being on the outside property. It's just lonely. You know, you're just used to being there. He'd follow me into the garage. I'd take the trash out. He'd follow me. Woody be running around catching an animal out on the property. Woody ended up being taken back by their daughter, taken down to her farm about a month ago. So we were going to give Buster. We figured Buster was getting older. We let him live in peace. We were going to keep him in the house. And then all of a sudden he got sick. And it kind of broke our heart because he was in and out. Like, I have my office is right off our deck. So I would open the window up and he would jump in and out. And the last week he couldn't even really jump in and out. And you know, it just broke my heart. I mean, I had to tell him to look away while I teared up. I'm joking, but I did tear up. I admit, he was one of my boys. You don't realize how close you are to them until they're gone.
Yep, exactly. Even though you took them in and they technically weren't yours, you know, they grow on you. Even though they aggravate you from time to time, you're still, like you said, you don't know what you miss until they're gone, you know, and how many years did you have him? You said he was 18 and a half when you adopted him, kind of?
Well, no, they dropped the daughter and the husband dropped him off at the mother's house about 12 years ago. They were their cats. But they're different than us. Like, we don't believe in leaving them outside. but they were their cats. But what would happen was is when they weren't feeding them and stuff like that, they wanted to be with us for some reason. Like, immediately, they were on our deck and our porch or behind us, neighbor. And they were constantly with us. And, like, yeah. In the wintertime, he had a garage, so I'd be the one chasing them around. We always put food out. We'd end up putting food out. We get raccoons and, you know, Presley's yep. out fighting a possum because of the cats are outside. And but over the years, like this time of year, it's beautiful because they'd be coming after us, following me. And so they've been around for a while. The last yeah. couple of years, it got to the point where they didn't want to take care of them in the garage no more. And I started letting them in my room, in my office. And
right.
One long story short, I'm going to miss them. I mean, they weren't they never were technically my cats. But right. by me taking care of them, in a way, they technically became my cats. So,
right.
Buster, I love you and I'm going to miss you. But it did break my heart last night. My wife and my mother-in-law were very sad.
Yeah. It's always sad when you lose an animal. It is true. We've all been through it. And, you know, people that don't have animals don't really understand. But those that do... you know, it is part of the family, no matter how you look at it, in my view, anyways.
Yeah, even though he was out, like I said, we tried to distance ourselves from him because we didn't want to get that close. But you just can't help yourself. Like, I'd be right. out in the wood shop working with the door open. He'd come moseying in, hop up mm-hmm. on the bench, lay down next to me. I'd be running the saw. He's the only cat on the planet that the saw wouldn't bother. You know, and my dog yep. would be on the floor next to him looking up at him like, you're an idiot too. But don't bother me either.
Right, right.
Nah, but anyway, we're going to miss him. And then I was listening to you guys, I know you haven't been as much as you used to listening to Be Our Guest. I guess we're going over all counter service restaurants and stuff like that, which it kind of got me going to – I was getting ready for our show and listening to our show, and it made me starving tonight, I'll tell you that much, because I listened to it while I was on. I came home from work today and hopped on the mower to cut the yard before we got on with you guys, and they were talking about their favorite counter service restaurants. And I disagree with almost every one of them, but they love the Tex-Mex. Like, they're all on board. They're happy that Pecos Bills is Tex-Mex.
Oh, all right. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm not. I want my burger and my fixin' bar back.
Yeah, that would be nice. That was an old standby that I got very used to. And I think we talked about it, Doug. Not that we ate there very often, but just knowing it was there was good enough, you know?
Oh, absolutely. There was even times where we would go in and split a burger in the fixin' bar. It was just enough to keep us out of trouble. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Maybe we'll see it come back in some other capacity or some other restaurant at some point.
No, but then they were talking about the dining plan and all, and it kind of PO'd me. Like, they were, but I agree with them on some things. Like, they did fill me in on something. And we're going to be talking about Disney Springs, and that's why I brought this up. The new Polite Pig.
Yep.
Just for our listeners to know, it isn't listed yet, but the Polite Pig is a counter service restaurant. Which, that's good to know, if you have the dining plan.
Absolutely, yeah. Sounds like a pretty good deal, actually, if you can get one table or one counter service credit for some of the sandwiches. Sounds like a heck of a deal.
And then they were saying on the show, which Pam was mentioning, which I kind of knew this, but sometimes they could be funny, but like they were mentioning how even though you don't now that you don't get a dessert with the dining plan, which that just pisses me off so bad. Now they said you could use your snack credit for a dessert if you're at the restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, you're still losing no matter how you slice it, though, right? I mean, you're going to get one less water or snack or whatever you would have got. So you're still going to be pulling money out of your pocket if you're on the dining plan one way or another.
Yeah, and then to use the snack credit for it, it's like I just feel like I'm being robbed. I don't know about you guys.
No. I won't feel like I'm being robbed because I won't do the dining plan.
Exactly. Don't you use it?
No, that's one thing I won't be doing anymore, or free dining. It's gotten to the point now where I just hand Disney $60 a day and say thank you.
Yep.
But
it sounds funny, though. We're complaining. I won't accept free dining. It just sounds funny.
I know, and our good buddy Pat, I mean, we've been having fun, and he talked about the refillable mugs and all that. But And I agree with him. For him, it does work. But I'll admit, I don't use the refillable. Even when I buy them, I bought them for the souvenir like aspect the of it.
Yep, yep.
My wife don't drink enough coffee. One cup of coffee a day is all she would drink in the morning. She don't really drink coffee much at night. Maybe one night during the week she might get one on the way home. For us, the mugs, I'm not getting sodas down there all the time. I'm going to grab my can out of my fridge. And you can't take it to the park. It more set in the room for me, except I would use it in the morning for the two of us to fill up whatever we wanted. So I would get one fill all day.
I agree. I mean, when you buy it, or at least when I buy it, you justify it in your mind saying, oh, we're going to be at the pool. We're going to go back and forth. But in reality, we do the same thing. A cup of coffee in the morning. And then it always becomes the decision, do I run back to the room and throw, you know, rinse them out and just leave them in the room because you don't feel like lugging them to the park, or at least I don't. I mean, I used to be the mule for the family of four. And back when, before they went to the skinny ones, when you had the rounder ones, the stubbier ones, I mean, those things would take up almost all the room in the backpack. So we never, ever wanted to bring them to the park, even if we haven't had an ADR or we're going to another resort where you could use it. In reality, it generally never worked out where we would use it or bring it, one of the two.
Yeah, and then the newer ones, because I would do the same thing then. I'd have the tray. I would grab a tray, and I'd be walking all the way back. And the skinnier ones, they would want to tip the heck over.
Yeah, right.
So you didn't know which one to get. You know, right. I prefer the one with the handle, but you're right. They're like, you have four of them with me, Mom, Brenda, and Donna. You're right. It takes – I need three trays to come back to the room.
Yeah.
And then I would get back to the room, and at night, really, I'd grab a beer, a Coors Light or whatever I had in the fridge, a Peroni or whatever I was drinking at the time. Or I would have my soda. I didn't feel like walking all the way back to the food court at 10 o'clock at night to grab a soda or a drink. You know, so I get it with Pat. He does a lot of the character dining and stuff like that. But the point I was trying to make with the free dining, and I made it before – you're paying peak price for the room. You're better off just paying for the – get a discount on the room.
Right. And I think as Pat's family changes and as they grow and as they keep, you know, cutting things out of the dining plan, there'll come a point where he'll come over to our side of the argument. He's just not there yet, and that's fine. And if he – you know, it sounds like he really did the math and I was following his tweets and stuff. And, you know, if he's – at least breaking even or better, you know, he should use it because that's what it's for. But, you know, like I said, as his family size changes or people he's got at the park, and, you know, it seems like every year they're cutting something else out or, you know, like this thing with the moderates this year, you know, they're going to make it so that, you know, nobody will in my view, I still think the end game is, you know, free dining and all that stuff is going to be a thing of the past. And I'll say within the next 5 years, it just won't be sustainable, nor will it be cost effective for most families to use.
No, and again, Pat does his homework. Pat's kind of knowledgeable. He's not really that bright, but he does. I'm just kidding, Pat. No, but he does. His tweets were true. For him, it works. But again, I just don't like being prisoner of the most expensive thing on the menu, and that's my problem. I mean, there are simple things that I do like. Oh, and that's the other thing I noticed the other day. Before we get into this, these are just food items. Did you guys see that the pizza window's back open in Viennapoli? I tweeted that out the other day.
Yeah, I did see that. And that's kind of the way it's been. There's no rhyme or reason, or not one that we know, but it does intermittently open, and then all of a sudden you'll tell a bunch of friends, hey, go get a slice of pizza, and they come back and say, I couldn't find it. It wasn't open, you know? So I don't know what the – you know, how they determine when it's going to be open, but it seems to be intermittent at best.
I don't know. I went and looked for even it closed last time, and I couldn't even find where it would be at. So it kind of boggles my mind that there is this supposed – it's almost like a friend of a friend said, hey, man, you can get some pizza over here.
Yeah. You're going to knock three times on the door and say a password, and they'll magically open the window.
Yeah, if you say Napoli backwards, you'll get that slice of pizza.
Yeah, and I forget what the slice is, $5, $6, $7, whatever it is, a slice. And I'm okay with that. I'm not saying it's, you know, I can get a, you know, I ain't comparing it to home or anything. I would rather do that to have – because paying $40 for a whole pizza, I just can't do it. But to walk off and grab a slice and a beer, I'm okay with that, as right. crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's still outrageously expensive for a slice of pizza, but at least, you, like you said, you're not dropping $40.
You know, and what I'd rather
– oh, go ahead,
John. I'm sorry. I was just going to say I'd rather pay $7 for a slice of that pizza than $4 for that slice of pizza on Boardwalk any day of the week, because that stuff is not very good.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing, too, and John, maybe you can attest to this or not, but there was, again, it's gone back and forth, and I never heard a final answer on it, but some were saying that it's not the same pizza as you would get if you ordered a pie inside Via Napoli. It was a pizza window that was near Via Napoli or adjacent to Via Napoli, but the pizza was different. And again, any listeners out there that have experienced this, maybe could tweet us or Facebook us or email us or something and let us know if you've had it. But I never did get a final answer as to what the actual pizza was that was served out of that window.
From what I'm seeing and from what I can tell and from what I've been reading, whatever the window is now, it's Via Napoli pizza.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go with that until or unless somebody says otherwise, we'll say it's the same pie then.
Yeah, because I watched the video on it. I seen it. I'm a geek. I investigate this stuff. And I would look forward to it. Like, I wouldn't mind snacking around the world and having a slice for me and Brenda, even if it is $20 for two slices and two drinks. I know we're not going to eat a whole $40 pizza, the two of us, and I'm not going to pack it to go.
Right.
I'm not getting a go bag there. So I'd rather do it that way, and I'm okay with it that way. Because I don't mind paying $7 for beer in World Showcase. I get it. Right. But I'm not going to pay $45, or I'm not going to pay $70 for a 12-pack. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, like I said, I know I said this last time we stayed at Port Orleans Riverside. I mean, we found this place that was recommended to us, Flipper's Pizza, and they do deliver on property. So if we're in the mood for pizza and we're going to have something back at the room, we would order that. And it's a little bit cheaper. You just got to walk up to the lobby to get it. But it's decent pizza for Florida anyways, I think.
So, and this turned into the Sunday show where we bounced all over the place, which is all good. But anyway, and Mother's Day is coming up. We're still going to record on Sunday. You guys good to record Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
So, but we'll wish all the mothers happy Mother's Day tonight, and then we'll also wish them Sunday morning when we record together. But don't forget your wives and mothers, guys. Do yourself a favor. The reason I'm saying it now is to remind you guys, Mother's Day is this weekend. You'd be surprised the idiots on the job today didn't know it. The one guy goes, Sunday? No, it's a Monday. Mother's Day's on Monday, man.
Yeah. Day late and a dollar short.
Yeah. He goes, really? I said, yeah, this Monday is Mother's Day, dude. So don't buy your wife anything till Monday and see what happens. Knucklehead.
I went ahead and just jumped ahead of the game. I bought my wife the stuff yesterday and gave it to her. So here you go, honey. I'm good. So
yeah, well, that's not a bad idea. Better than being late. Or forgetting altogether.
But I'm doing a service here, guys. Don't forget the best people on the planet, your wives and your mothers. You know, take care of them. We can't take care of ourselves. I'll take that one.
And it's true. So,
but happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. So anyway, what we're going to cover tonight is Bob from It's All in WDW, our website, the official website of WDW Main Street. Bob did a poll this week. What's the best... In parentheses, most exciting new restaurant in Disney Springs and vote. And the vote was out, and he released the winners and all. But we just wanted to go over ours and how we would rate them, how we want to go. Even if we haven't been there yet, what we're looking forward to most, what we like the most, any way you want to put them in order is fine. But the final tallies on the website was, you're not going to believe this, SDK Steakhouse came in last.
What a shock.
Yeah.
And I don't even think they realize it. Nobody's there working. I still believe that there's nobody in that restaurant.
Yeah. It's like if a tree falls in the forest, did it really make a noise?
Exactly. And there was a total of 3, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I wanted to make sure it was 8. There's a total of 8. So in 8th place was STK Steakhouse. 7th place, what do you guys – oh, you looked at it. Planet Hollywood right. Observatory. 7th was – or 6th was Frontero Cucina or Casina, however you want to – Frontero Cucina, however you want to say it. And 5th was Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar. 4th was the Paddlefish. 3rd was Marimota Asia. And separated by one vote was Homecoming and the Boathouse, which I was actually shocked by the Homecoming being up that high.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've heard about it, we've talked about it, but it didn't seem to get the buzz that at least the Boathouse was earlier in the year. And then, of course, Paddlefish with its grand opening, you know, not too long ago. And I think that's what somewhat hampered Paddlefish. I think that, you know, it got a lot of good press, good rave reviews, and, you know, Bob did his dining review there. But I think just not many people have eaten there. It's still so new that, you know, although you know, like I said, it got rave reviews. I just don't think enough people have experienced it to cause them to vote for it, or at least the voters that voted on the website. So, but in my view, just my personal opinion, Paddlefish or Boathouse, flip a coin. I haven't eaten at Paddlefish yet, but I take Bob's reviews to heart, and he's pretty good at, you know, reviewing food. So if he says it was that good, I am going to take his word for it. So, I would have no problem at all making a resi at either one of those, Boathouse or Paddlefish.
Well, I will say that our good friends, Jen and Scott, they do their Snapchat, and they do a good job. They keep you posted all day long. And they ate at GECO for their anniversary dinner, and they were talking about best meal, blah, blah, blah. They were going on and on and on. And then they just ate at Paddlefish last night. And Jen was like, hesitantly saying that Paddlefish, the way it sounded, was better than GECO. But she was going back and forth about how great they both are. So they said they had a phenomenal meal. The meal that they had on Snapchat looked really, really good. So they gave it, from what I could tell, 4 stars themselves. So I cannot wait to go there.
Well, and I think too, Doug, that, you know, and I do this, I'm guilty of it. The last meal that you had tends to resonate a little bit more in your mind, so it may go up a few more notches than that meal you had 4 months ago or your last trip. And I think that's a good thing that Disney or Walt Disney World has so many great restaurants that, you know, it's okay to, you know, and I think you even say this, your favorite might even change from time to time, depending on what mood you're in or what time of year it is or what you're craving, whether it be Italian or seafood or a steak or whatever. Your favorite restaurant on property could be different depending on when you're asked the question.
Yeah, and I honestly do have 4 or 5 absolute favorites, or maybe 6. And it might sound crazy, but they're all about equal to me. The Yak and Yeti I love. I love Rose and Crown. I love Le Cellier. I love Spice Road Tables. I love 50s Prime Time. And I love the Brown Derby. And I love GECO. And I'd be happy to go any of them at any time. And they all have specialties on the menu that I love.
Right.
So it's hard to separate any of them. And then you can go even deeper to a ton of other places that we love. So there's a ton of great restaurants on property.
Yeah. I think people kind of carry a torch, though, like you with Rose and Crown. I mean, it's almost like personal to you. If anybody even says anything negative about it, you jump down their throat because you've discovered it and you enjoy it and the memories. And you almost – it's like a child to you almost.
Yeah, especially when an idiot holds a grudge for years because one day the keg was out. You know, that kind of thing.
Not just the keg, all the kegs. And I couldn't even get bottled beer. So, I mean, come on. Come on.
So in all your years, you've never heard of a restaurant, the freezer going down. I mean, things happen, John. You know, it's called.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, come on, Doug. I deliver to 20 restaurants a day. I know all about the things.
Yeah, so you hit a lucky day.
I also know what good restaurants do to overcome issues, and they did not do it. They didn't even try. So, I mean, hey, I'm just saying. I mean, that was my experience. So.
Well, maybe one of the problems is, and I'm not trying to make excuses for them. I don't know, and I've never seen this, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong. And usually I'm not. It's been a maybe once or twice during the 356 episodes. So, but if
during
I
your
am,
entire life.
Let me know. Have you guys ever during your strolling around World Showcase, have you ever seen a delivery ever being made during dining time or open park hours to any of these restaurants?
Yes, I have.
You have? I have never seen a person walking across at 3 in the afternoon with a delivery for any of the restaurants.
When I was at the Rose and Crown, speaking of, when I met up with Bob, I was waiting at the bar to get a beer, and the ice guy showed up. And outside, he had a big flatbed full of ice, and he had to get the key from the person to get it onto the elevator to take it upstairs. I don't know why the ice went upstairs, but that's what he was doing. So.
Okay, but have you ever seen food or drinks, like beer or anything being delivered across the – is what I'm saying, John. You know what I'm saying? Anything like that. I haven't. So I'm thinking maybe they aren't allowed to bring beer across when other people are there. Like I feel bad that you were out, but I don't know if the actually beer truck delivery could come and bring bottles of beer in because their cooler or something broke in the middle of people were guests being there. That's all I'm asking.
I don't know. I see kegs all the time, especially during Food and Wine Festival different people rolling kegs around. So, I mean, if you have it, like, just like the my favorite stand there in Canada, if they run out of Le Fin de Mont or something, sometimes you'll have to wait 10 or 15 minutes while another keg gets delivered out there. So
yeah, that's one thing I've never really seen. I have seen the keg, so yeah, but I'm just talking like bottle deliveries and stuff like that. I've never seen like a bottle of Coors Light or Le Fin de Mont, or not like any of the Peronis or anything carried into a restaurant is what my point is.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, when I had my last job, I delivered, we had several of the different Epcot restaurants out there, and Rose and Crown One was one of us. And you'll be happy to know, by the way, that they do buy free-range chicken breast. So it's hormone-free, free-range, the natural chicken breast. When I got there,
I wouldn't expect anything less of them.
I got there at I think 12:30 or something like that, and they were usually when you make deliveries to Epcot, they have the prep kitchens and stuff like that in the back, and that's where you deliver the products. But they were out of the chicken breast actually at Rose and Crown, so they actually just had me, instead of dropping it off in the back, I wheeled it right out into Epcot and across the promenade and right into the restaurant. So yeah, I've actually done it before. So
no, I never, like I said, I've never seen, I'm not saying you're wrong, I was just asking, I didn't know if maybe that would, I know, like I said, I've seen the kegs go to the different stations, but that's a keg. I've just never seen bottles or food delivered is what my point was.
I mean, I got to believe Disney having run those restaurants or even the ones that are owned by third parties. I mean, they know what the park attendance is or what the bookings are for the restaurants. I would think at the beginning of the day, they know what they have to have on hand to accommodate the average crowd or what they would expect to be a crowd. I mean, there may be times when they run out of stuff just because maybe, John didn't get there in time that day or the truck broke down.
It's all
down.
My fault.
Yeah,
it really was.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, I mean, I would have to think that wouldn't happen too often, or at least it wouldn't happen randomly, only if there was an actual issue. They should have enough supplies on hand in the restaurant itself or in the dry storage or cold storage or whatever they have within the facility itself.
Well, all I have to say is, God forbid John's truck ever breaks down and he can't get the order to all these restaurants one day. I hope to God they forgive him and give him a second chance, because that's all I'm hoping.
I mean, and of course, you were talking about the restaurants proper. I mean, I've seen dozens of times the kiosks, they're wheeling in food and different things all the time. Because
I was basically talking about the restaurants then.
Right, because they don't have the room in the kiosk to, keep all that food on hand. A lot of the stuff is prepped out back or in a larger kitchen and then wheeled over to the different kiosks.
But anyway, we pick on John because we love him. John. But you're going to be back there one of these days.
No, you were exactly making Dennis's point. I pick on Rosenkraut a little bit, and you get all defensive.
That's why I did it.
I told you.
This is called entertainment. I know where he's going. See, listen, my boy. Me and this guy has been doing it for many episodes. I know how to take his lead and start trouble. No. But to your point, then yes, there's so many restaurants that are our favorites that we loved it, and I think a bunch of these are going to become the same thing. Like, I mean, I will say I'll read off the order I would put them in, and then I'll let yous two, and then we'll do a little discussion on the poll. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
So, because I wanted to tell you guys the proper way it should be, and then you guys can let me know what you guys think it should be. Okay. I mean, of course, STK Steakhouse, I don't know if it – how can I put this? It's going to be last just because of the way they treated me, but I was more interested in going there than half the other ones, if that makes sense to you guys.
Right, right. I mean, you'd actually like – and I'm sure you will taste the food at one point. I mean – you know, it's going to take a lot to get you to change your mind based on your personal experience, but I would imagine at one point you will actually rate it on the food and the actual service that you experience in the restaurant.
I'm going to be truthful here instead of blaming them. I'm going to put it – really, the one that I have the least interest in right now is Frontera Cucina, and then it would be Planet Hollywood Observatory. Then it's STK Steakhouse. Then it's Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar. And then it's Chef Art Smith's Homecoming. And then it's Boathouse. Then it's Mary Mona Asia. And then it's Paddlefish for me. To be honest with you, I have more interest in steak. I want to eat at the STK Steakhouse more than I – Dennis, right now, if you had the choice between Planet Hollywood Observatory to have to sit down for a meal or STK Steakhouse or you, John, and money's no object, where would you be more interested in going?
I'd probably go to STK.
John?
Yeah, you put the money – money is no object quantifier in there. So, yeah. I mean, given the choice, I would go with STK, but if I was paying out of pocket – I would definitely go with a burger and a beer at Planet Hollywood.
But I'll tell you what, if you look at those prices, I mean, it's not that cheap going there. So,
right, right.
But well, how would you guys – how would you list them then?
Let's see. I would put Frontera Cucina last, then Chef Art Smith's Homecoming, Jock Lindsay's, then the Paddlefish – then I would go the Morimoto Asia, Paddlefish, then Boathouse. I would pick my number one.
Well, you said Paddlefish twice.
Okay, it's that good. I'm mentioning it. Yeah. I probably left another one out, but yeah, my top three would be my number one restaurant would be Boathouse, number two would be Paddlefish, and number three would be Morimoto Asia, then followed by the middle of the pack.
Yeah,
and
I think you said Paddlefish because you had a third from the bottom. I think you meant Planet Hollywood.
Yes, I did. I just flopped them, so that would be my fourth.
See how I read my work wife's mind?
Yes, you know what I was saying.
I want to apologize. I was impersonating Bob. I'm just kidding, Bob. But anyway, I was opening a Helles from Victory Brewing Company, and I dropped my bottle opener. So I apologize. And see, we cut nothing out here at the bar. Oh, and before we let John go, I want to mention, we're 99.99% sure we got a new sponsor in the Garden Grocer, and they actually supplied the limes tonight for the podcast. So
nice.
So, but yes, welcome aboard Garden Grocer. I got to get you guys in the beginning of the show in the whole nine yards, but I'm happy. I love the Garden Grocer. A buddy of mine at work, he's actually having a delivery at the Wilderness Lodge from them this week on Friday, and I know he won't be disappointed.
No, it's great service. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was just going to say the client that I have actually going down in October, guys, I need to mention Garden Grocer. Even though they're driving still, I mean, they're going to have limited space in their vehicle, so that might be a service. They're going to be there a whole entire week, so might be a service they're very interested in. So.
Well, don't tell anybody. When we get the logo put on our website, tell them to go order through us. Yeah, the tab's going to be on our website. We're going to have them up on there. And if you guys shop at the Garden Grocer, you can click through our website and go shopping. And we'd really appreciate it. So, John, give us the list that's wrong, and then we can go back to my list, which is right.
Okay. All right. Last place would be SDK. It's just I'm not, frankly, after my experience at the Boathouse, it's going to take me an awful lot of peer pressure to get me to come off my wallet that much. I will be willing to give Sanaa and Rose and Crown three more chances before I give Boathouse another chance.
Well, Boathouse must be seventh then.
No, actually, Boathouse is a little ahead of the other ones. That just Planet Hollywood, I have no interest in whatsoever. It looks like overpriced hamburgers, and if I want a burger, that deluxe burger place looks fantastic.
The only thing that has me enticed about that is, what is it? What's the name of the sauce? Donkey
sauce? Yeah, I was
sauce?
Trying to think of it.
Donkey sauce.
Donkey sauce.
Yeah, I think it's donkey sauce, isn't it?
That's donkey sauce.
And honestly, I don't have the website open. I don't know. I haven't looking, but I think it's donkey. I haven't looking. Listen to my English.
It is.
It's been a long day. I haven't looking. I speak gooder English than you guys. But no, donkey sauce. That's the only interest I have is trying that donkey sauce.
Well, and out of the celebrity chefs, he's the most annoying one. So.
Oh, yeah. It's like, dude, put your hair to color it's supposed to be. Uh-huh.
Relax, man. Relax.
Yes.
But, so SDK, then Planet Hollywood, then Boathouse, then Frontina Cantina. Then Morimoto, Pat Smith, and the one that I want to try the most, even though I'm not really that interested in food, it's just I'm a big, huge Indiana Jones fan, and I have yet to go into Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar, so I've got to get in there. So that's the one that I will probably be hitting next time we're out at Disney Springs.
How the hell has both me and Dennis been in Jock Lindsey's and you haven't?
I don't know, and I'm the Indiana Jones fan. It doesn't make any sense to me, but because I'm with my wife and she just has no interest in hanging out at a bar, so I can't talk her into it. So I had to head over there by myself.
So. No, shame on you. I just don't. Yeah. I have no words for that.
Yeah.
No, I mean I'm looking forward. Half of most of these, I mean I was at Jock Lindsey's. I was at Marimota Asia. I snuck into the Boathouse to have snacks. But most of them I haven't eaten at. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, I've eaten at, Boathouse. I've been to Jock Lindsey's, Morimoto Asia. I had some sort of appetizer. I don't remember what I had. Paddlefish, no. Planet Hollywood Observatory, no. And STK, no. So, yeah, I've only three of the eight I've eaten at or in.
I mean, and the paddlefish is, you know, I know 100% I'll be happy. I mean, it would have to be really, really bad for me not to have a good time there. That's how excited I am about trying the paddlefish.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, with Bob's review and, you know, we've had other listeners chime in on it. And I remember reading the menu and I think there were 12 things that I said I would definitely try. So that's going to be a multiple visit, multiple entree restaurant for me.
Yeah, I was just shocked that it finished fourth. I mean, I guess I can say I'm shocked because the three in front of it are all phenomenal restaurants. I mean, Marimota Asia is one of the best meals I've had on Disney property. And what I loved about Marimota Asia was I haven't eaten there enough for it to become like one of my go-to restaurants, if you follow me. Like, if I don't eat there on the next five trips, I'm not going to be upset. But if I do eat there on the next five trips, I'm not going to be upset either, if that makes sense. Yeah, I'm going to be happy. And it just has unique flavors to it. And I'm betting 90% chance that I will eat something at Marimota Asia. I mean, me and Brenda's probably going to do the food crawl around Disney Springs. And I could see us going up to the sushi bar outside, which is that's the thing I love the most about the Springs, the way that they have all these outside eating areas. I cannot wait for each night for us to go eat around this park. I mean, I'm going to eat at most of these by the time I leave next trip.
Right, and you're not even considering the, you know, the sausage bar. What is it? B.J. Wolf's, I think. And, you know, you have that poutine place where you can get that stuff over by the World of Disney.
And the Play Pig.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other things. Even
Deluxe
you
Burger
know,
and
yeah,
the,
I mean,
Blaze Pizza.
Grab and go stuff. It's you're right, Doug. It is a panacea of food offerings down there. I mean, not only can you shop, but, you know, you probably got over a dozen options, more than a dozen. I'm going to say closer to 20 or 25, you know, in adding in some of the old ones. You got Wolfgang's, got a couple places, and, you know, there's just all kinds of options down there.
Do you guys think that Paddlefish is maybe suffering a little bit from the redundancy of another seafood restaurant right on the water? I mean, granted, the menus are different from Boathouse to Paddlefish, but they are both seafood centric, and they kind of have that same type of, I think they're at the same price point too, or close to, and if people have already been down and eaten at the Boathouse and enjoyed it, they would probably want to head back there more than they would want to try another place.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, John. You know, myself, and again, it's unfair because I've only eaten at one of the two places, but I think the Boathouse has a little bit more going for it in that they have the, you know, the cars that go out in the water. They got the boats. They got the bar that juts out into the water. I think there's more to do, not that you need to have something to do to go to a restaurant, but, you know, they have entertainment as well. I know when we were there one time, they had a like a one-man band playing the guitar and the electric piano. And, you know, I know Paddlefish has, you know, bands or entertainment as well, or at least that's what I've heard, that rooftop,
yeah, they do.
The rooftop bar or whatever. So, I mean, they kind of match there. But I think, John, you're kind of right. I think people are more familiar with Boathouse. I mean, it's been open, you know, I think over a year, maybe even a year and a half longer. And I know for myself, it kind of feels familiar now. It's one of the only new restaurants down there that I kind of feel comfortable. Like, you know, hey, I've been here before. It's something familiar to me. Whereas, you know, Paddlefish is, like I said, it's so new. I just don't think enough people have eaten there. I think if we take the poll, you know, a year from now or something like that, the results might be different.
I do. I think the Paddlefish is, let's face it, I mean, I do love the Boat's Den, and I think they're awesome. And I told the story, like, last year's surgery, not this year's, last year's. Watching Fast and Loud, I watched the boat, I mean, them amphibious cars bought and sent down to Disney. And when I got down there this last trip, I couldn't wait to go over and see and ask which ones. And one of the nice gentlemen told me about them. But face it, when do you think we're going to actually take the money to go ride on one of them? You need to have an extra little checking account for that.
Right.
All four of us were there and had a couple of beers. I guess that's probably what it would take, right?
Right.
So I think I could even get a better view of those boats from the Paddlefish than I could the Boathouse.
Right. Yeah, you'd be up higher. You'd have a better vantage point. Yeah, I think it's one of those things, and you're right, Doug. I'm not saying that I'm particularly interested in riding in one of them, but I enjoy watching other people. Yeah, just the fact they're there and it's kind of going on, it just adds a little bit of a little bit of excitement around the restaurant and you know. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like it.
And the thing I'm excited about, too, is that with this Paddlefish, that late-night menu, I wonder if some of the other restaurants are going to start going to that, because this is the first one that I've seen that actually has a specific menu for late night.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine if it was successful, the others would do it. I mean, you know, they're all either Disney restaurants or third-party operators, but at the end of the day, they are you know, competing against each other. So I would think yes.
This is one of the things. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Johnny.
No, I was just going to say, you guys wouldn't see this, but Disney is really, really running heavy ads for Disney Springs in the local media. There's billboards up, and usually there's a mix between parks and what used to be Downtown Disney and stuff like that. Actually, over the last 10 years, I very rarely remember seeing anything on commercials or whatnot for Downtown Disney. But with Disney Springs opening up, they're marketing heavily towards locals to hang out, to not just shop. There's a shopping one, and then there's a whole a whole commercial just about eating out there. So, well, yeah, they're marketing heavy for us.
And I think it's working, too. And I think that's why there's – because, like I said, our friends Jen and Scott. I mean, I've been noticing a trend. And you guys – I know you guys – I watch more videos and more of the vlogs, I think, than yous. Or Dan, you watch quite a bit. You do watch Carmen and you watch
– I do.
Yep. One of the things I do notice that I didn't notice 10 years ago or 10 years ago was – The restaurants at Disney Springs were second thoughts. For all these vlogs and all of our followers and friends out there are, you know, every time we turn around, somebody's eating at a Disney Springs and they're excited to go to Disney Springs. Like, downtown Disney was like everybody liked it, but it was something you do if you could fit in time. Now everybody's making time to go to these restaurants. You guys agree with me on that?
Yeah. I do, because I think that
because we do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, no, I think people by and large used to want to eat in the parks and be in the parks, and there was an attraction to that, you know, not only being at Disney World and, you know, experiencing the great attractions, but also eating at, you know, world-class restaurants or, you know, not in all cases, Magic Kingdom, but, you know, some of the parks have some great restaurants, or if not in the parks, adjacent to at the resorts. But I agree with you, Doug, and I think the fact that they've dumped billions of dollars into, you know, Disney Springs, the marketing, you know, they're trying to get their money back, basically. And I know it's been busy down there, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, it could be busier, and they want to, you know, maximize, you know, profits and all that. So, you know, they want people to go down there. But I agree with you that the average park guest, it isn't if we can fit it in anymore. People are scheduling at least one Disney Springs day into their vacation because of all the new stuff that's down there. You know, it's not, might we go? It's what day are we going to go?
I think they finally... They finally got around to the point of putting destination dining at Disney Springs instead of we're shopping at the World of Disney. Hey, let's eat at Rainforest Cafe before we head back to our room or something, you know. Now it's more like, hey, did you hear about the boathouse? Did you hear about not SDK because they don't advertise, but how about did you hear about Paddlefish? You know, I mean, people are actually setting it up. And I mean, you got places like Morimoto and the celebrity chefs and stuff that are doing them. So, and definitely have stepped up their game with the restaurant offers out there. So,
I mean, there's 5-6 restaurants that I constantly want to eat at now in the Springs where before I didn't. The only restaurant I ever made an ADR for in the Springs really was, well, years ago I told the story about, you know, going to eat at Gloria Estefan's. But. Right. But for the most part, the only place we ever made reservations was for Wolfgang Puck's. Everything else, only time we ate anywhere else is if we just happened to be down there. But now there's multiple restaurants that you are really thinking about making ADRs for now.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we know that Portobello is going under construction or a renovation, I should say. And, you know, I would think that some of the other restaurants that haven't had a renovation in, you know, the past 10 years will follow along as well. And when they reopen or relaunch, like Paddlefish, although I don't think anything will be as extensive as that, I still think, you know, them other restaurants, if they want to maintain their share of, you know, guests booking, you know, reservations there, they're going to have to, you know, touch up and, you know, give it at least a facelift, if not, you know, complete dining, you know, retrofit. So, you know, we're still going to see a lot more enhancements down there to the existing restaurants.
Well, I 100% agree with you. And because, you know, the other thing that made me think when we did this poll, how long is it going to take before that whole West Side area goes under construction? All those restaurants.
Right.
I mean, I could really see, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know the brunch is awesome and all, but
House of Blues.
How could you even possibly think about even going there right now?
Yeah, right. It would be way, way down on my list, regardless of how good the food is or isn't, only because there's so many other options. You know, we're talking about 8 of them tonight, the new ones, and some of our old favorites. I mean, it might take me 5 years before I'd get to the point where I'd go there. Yeah. And like I said, I got – entrees at some of those other restaurants that I know I want to try. So I'd go multiple times to like Paddlefish before I'd ever go to House of Blues. But that's just me.
And not that Wolfgang's isn't great, but I've eaten there enough times now where with the amount of time I have down there, I want to try different things, and there are better things that I like. I mean, I like Wolfgang's meatloaf. My wife loves the pumpkin ravioli. I love his spicy chicken pizza. I could see myself more going to the Express than the restaurant now.
Right.
For a slice of pizza or whatever, because that's even been updated. But yeah. I can just see that, you know, you got Estefan's, you got Bongo's, you got a Wolfgang, and then you got a House of Blues. I mean, I think all three of them could go change. I don't really see them lasting more than a few more years. I could see that whole West Side, that side of the West Side, going under construction after more than – I think it's going to be sooner than later.
Right. I mean, the only new thing you have on the other side is Splitsville, and I think they would
and
obviously
Planet
keep
Hollywood
that.
Planet Hollywood redo right there.
Yeah.
True. Yep.
House of Blues still pulls in some decent acts every once in a while. So I wouldn't doubt that you'd see a restaurant or, you know, a menu update or something, but I don't think the actual House of Blues would be going away because when we're out there some nights, there's still a crowd of a couple of thousand people waiting to get in for a concert there. So
that's a good point, John. I didn't think of that, the entertainment value. But that is a chain, though, right? There's House of Blues.
Yeah, ours down here. There used to be one in the showboat that we used to go to concerts to all the time.
Right.
And that's the reason why we started to eat at that one once in a while, because we enjoyed the one here. And then we noticed, like I said, something's going down. And then I got the steak there, and it ruined it for me.
Right. That was your fault.
Yes, it was, getting a steak at that place with all the other things on the menu.
Get a burger.
Or many of the other. The salmon in there is really good. You just need to stay with the Creole cuisine is what you want to eat when you go House of Blues. Don't buy a steak. It's just stupid. So, but what else are you guys looking forward to? I mean, on your next trip, then, is any of these going to be on your ADR besides the Paddlefish?
Let's see. Probably not. I mean, we're only going for a week, and you know, if we're going to do Paddlefish, which is obviously on the higher end of the budget scale, and we usually do a Cali Grill or maybe Gico if we make that switch this year. I can't see doing a third, high end restaurant. We've already done the Hangar Bar, so I mean, we could get something there, but that's not critical. Probably not, actually, Doug. Probably the rest of the week is going to be filled with resort/park restaurants, I would think.
What about you, Johnny?
Next time we head over to Disney Springs, I need to get into the Hangar Bar for sure. And I would think that Art Smith would probably – the homecoming would probably make our way onto one of our trips sometime soon. It sounds like a – upper class Cracker Barrel, and I always enjoy a Cracker Barrel.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
I mean, if you go into Jock Lindsay's, the air pirate pretzels, they're pretty good with the dip, the house made mustard and beer cheese fondue dip. That's pretty good. I mean, there's some really good appetizers to have here, John.
Okay, yeah. If we go in there, I just stop to grab a beer and probably something like that, pretzels and fondue or something like that. And then I want to be there in the middle of the afternoon, so there ain't a lot of folks, and I can wander around and take a bunch of pictures. So.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't huge in there. I mean, am I right, Dan? I like to sit outside myself on that back porch.
Yeah, we went in later at night and we sat in that little capsule in the corner and they take your picture and stuff, which was pretty cool. But I agree with you, Doug. They got like a wraparound deck out, you know, that goes out towards the water. I bet you it's nice out there after the sun goes down or any time for that matter. That's not a bad option.
No, and they have some really good, John, like they do have the rolling boulder sliders, which it's three runway brisket meatball with tomato bacon jam, house-made pickles, shredded lettuce, and tomato. It's $11.50, which ain't bad. Then they have Brody's Brats, grilled bratwurst that are pretty good. Then they have flatbreads. They have a topped with spiced shrimp, smoked bacon, arugula, roasted tomatoes, and basil pesto for $16. So, I mean, you can get a couple appetizers, a couple drinks, and have a good time at Jock Lindley's. It's nice, but it isn't huge.
Right. It is kind of small. I know Bob didn't particularly care for it. Although I think he went back a second time and said it wasn't bad. When I went, one of the times we went, we got the sliders, and I think he got the sliders too, and he said they were a little dry and he was disappointed. But that was when they first opened. I'm pretty sure he went back, and I forget what he had, but he said that it was pretty decent.
Yeah, they have two different sliders actually on this menu. They have the Rolling Boulder sliders, which is the meatballs, and then they have the Max pork belly sliders, which is seasonal. Double agent, love this crispy pork belly slider with braised red cabbage, Swiss house-made Russian dressing, served with a butter brush baguette. So they look very good too. But this is the thing that, again, I keep repeating myself, but that's what I want to do with Brenda this next trip, is just roam around trying all these. Me and her split one of these appetizers, two drinks. Head over to the Boathouse outside bar and try a couple things there. Then go to the Paddlefish, do Marimoto's. That's the way we'll get to see all of them on the next trip.
Yeah, yep. And you can, you know, split an entree or get a couple of apps and, you know, split those and share them or whatever. And you'll get to experience a lot more of the menus than you would if you just sat down and ordered a straight up entree meal.
Yeah, because, I mean, we'll probably do dinner or lunch at the Paddlefish, but that'll probably be my only. On our next trip, that'll probably be one. We'll probably do two sit-downs, and then right. The rest is all going to be grab and go, you know, wherever we want to go.
Yep.
So, but I don't know, John. Well, when you do go to Jock Lindsey's, you got to give us a review on your next trip.
Absolutely.
So, do you guys have anything else? Guys, head over to It's All in WDW. Read all the latest articles. This is a couple articles down, but we just figured it would be fun to talk about it and give how we would want to eat at these places. And we're looking forward to Sunday to wish everybody happy Mother's Day.
Yep. Like you said, we mentioned it tonight, and we will mention it again Sunday, I'm sure.
So, do you got anything else you want to say, Johnny, before we end this show?
No, I think that's about it. Enjoy your week and early happy Mother's Day. So.
Yeah, we're all going to get fat at Disney Springs, I can see. And as we all get fat at Disney Springs, we wish we could get fat over at iTunes and you guys go over and leave us a review. So why don't you fatten up our reviews, head over to iTunes, and even if you want to be mean to us, we'll accept it. But please, guys, head over to iTunes, leave us a review. Please check out all of our sponsors. If you could, go over and order from Garden Grocer. And that's a great service, and I think you would. I would enjoy having my beer and my water waiting for me at the resort when I get there. What about you guys?
Oh, absolutely. That would be awesome, not having to rent a car and lug those cases of water around. You just Bell Services, you either pick them up there, or if you want to have them, bring them to your room, throw them a couple bucks, and they'll literally bring it to your room.
It's good stuff. So everybody head over there and check those guys out. If you could, please, guys, like I said, head over to our website, check them out, leave us a review on iTunes. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. And if you want to have a couple drinks like I did tonight, a victory, tell us, you can head over to the Weekly Pint and visit John.
Come on over, and we're talking about New England IPA, so it was an enjoyable conversation. So
everybody have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you real soon.
Good night.
Night. Have a good night.